Welcome back to Waterside Wake Up. Time for a special edition of Community Matters brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit, Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems, as we are joined now by the city manager of Beloit, Jason Raby. We want to talk to him a little bit earlier than normal this month because there is a particularly important meeting that you guys are going to have tomorrow night. Would you like to explain what that's going to be about?
Yeah, so we obviously have our usual city council meeting, but we've been in the throes of developing our budget. So tomorrow night we have our budget hearing. And it's just a public hearing that people can come speak to the budget. And then once that's finished and we go through all that part, then we will officially adopt the budget. It has to be due into the state here by the end of the month. So yeah, it's a good time to come ask questions, or you can ask questions even beforehand. I know the budget, the draft version's out on our website. If you go out there to beloitks.org, and there's a great search bar. In fact, that's the best way to navigate that website. Just type in budget and you will find it. And look through that, and if you have questions or whatever, definitely shoot me an email or give me a call, or come and speak, make your voice heard at the meeting.
Yeah, I've been talking about this. Kind of this has been something that I really want to promote to people because I hear it. I'm sure you hear it. Mm-hmm. I hear it quite a bit, and probably more so the last few years. And I know as a citizen of the city of Beloit and also a member of Mitchell County that my taxes have significantly gone up, my property taxes. Part of that is something I've done in my house, but then part of it, too, is just various. It's been explained to me, comps here, this here, appraisal automatically goes to the price you paid for it, this and that. But as everybody tells me, the people I talk to in the know, if you really want your taxes to go down, you need to have a voice in regards to controlling the spending, whether from the city level, the county level, or even the school level.
Sure.
Well, help us out first and foremost. What's the breakdown of the taxes, the budget, or let me say this. For every dollar that I, as a taxpayer, spend, where is my money going?
Sure. And this is speaking specifically to within the city limits of Beloit. Right. I think that's important to note, because everybody's breakdown is different as you get into different in the country or in the different cities here. So I think just really rough, the state has about 0.75% of that dollar, and the city has 28, almost 29% of that dollar. I think the county's got about 47.5% of that dollar. And then the school district does about 22%. And then there's a little bit, another almost 1% that's to the Post Rock Extension, the services that they provide here. So that's kind of how your dollar is split up between all the different
roughly, and I know it's not exactly what you said, but roughly, if I want to make it as simple as I can for people listening, basically about two quarters of a dollar goes in a situation with me, our assistant of Beloit, would be going to the county. And
correct.
Basically a quarter would be going to the city, and a little over that.
Yep.
And then a little less than that going to the schools, and then there's a couple of percent
correct
out there.
That's a great way to put it. And that's kind of what, when I talk with citizens, and I've, it's been the same even previously where I came from, is kind of the same scenario. Is it's a great way to talk about because you pay that bill, and you look at the city of Beloit, and you think, and just the city and what you're funding there, and that's important. But it's, there's quite a few different components there that you're,
Right.
and I think that's why it's important to to take a hard look at all those different functions, whether it's the county budget or our budget or the school district's budget, because it's kind of a team effort, because we work hard. Last year's I've been here has been trying to just, hey, let's keep it at least flat, and as we continue to tackle things that people want to see, see done. But also trying to be mindful to that. So, it's always a goal. And the big thing with our budget, that's a little bit different than most. I think, the school district, I can't speak to that one too much. I know the county, a lot of their budget funds come from property taxes. Of course, they're doing the whole county, so it's a little bit different animal.
Sure.
Most of our budget, I think our ad valorem taxes come in at about $1.5 million that we're taking in property taxes. And then the rest is coming through the different utilities. So think of those as small businesses, so we have an electric department. That's the biggest number on our budget, because we have to have the budget authority to go buy the electricity and as an expenditure. The water, same thing, the sewer is another one. Then we have pieces for the fire. We also levy Our library board is separate from us, so they just tell us what they want us to levy. So that's part of our mm-hmm. levy mill here. Mm-hmm. So we levy for the library, we also get, you know, sales tax revenue, which I think is kind of part of what we use for mm-hmm. Part of it's for the pool, part of it's to, you know, to fix streets and put in water lines and those types of things. So
what's the Chad said this the other day that the Mitchell County budget was about $12 million. That's what you had said
roughly.
What's the city budget?
I think our total is going to be about $14.5 million.
Approximately how much of that 14.5 is funded by taxpayer money?
Well, all of it is.
Okay,
because
good. I just want to make this clear. I thought that's what it was, but I just want to make sure.
Well, no, in the sense that all of us as taxpayers are paying. You know, we pay our electric bill
right.
or our sewer bill or.
But
water
it's not
bill.
Technically
so,
a tax.
So, but you're, from your property tax, right. when you write that property tax bill, it's about $1.5 million
of that. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Now, let's shift to the meeting that you're going to have tomorrow night. I hear a lot of people are complaining about taxes.
Sure.
And when we talk to people in the know, they say, well, what you need to do is your voice needs to be heard. It can be heard tomorrow night. It can be heard right now. It could mm-hmm. be heard anytime during the year. What typically happens, and we talked to one of the county commissioners, he was right there on the radio with us last week, and he wasn't even prompted. And he said, I've been a commissioner for, 10 years? Mm-hmm. And not one single person has come to the budget hearing for the county and said, ask questions or anything.
Sure.
Which to me is very apathetic.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad mm-hmm. in a way, because it's amazing to me, but like elected officials, believe it or not, at least I think at the local level, want more feedback.
Sure.
They want more input. But when you give all the feedback behind everybody's back, but don't actually talk to them about it,
sure.
it's hard to know, well, this is really important that isn't being addressed, that we got to find a way in the budget to make this work. Do you find that same thing at the city level, or are there people a little bit more willing to talk to you face to face or to come to some of these meetings like tomorrow night's?
The 2 years I've been there, I think I've only been here for one budget hearing, I believe. And last year we didn't have anybody.
So not a single person showed up to question anything about the city's budget or had any questions or any input whatsoever.
Not that I remember.
This will be my fifth year
That's
covering
funny,
the budget hearing.
Because I've heard at least probably 10 people in the last 2 weeks.
Sure.
Yeah.
But apparently they don't like to attend meetings.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's important, too. I mean, it's a process, and I think we start, you know, I looked on my notes whenever I come here and talk on the radio, and the last 2 years I've been here, I think I start talking about, you know, things we're doing.
Sure.
Like in May
mm-hmm.
and June, you know, mm-hmm. we're starting to work on the budget, you know, and that's kind of a process for us and because of all those utilities, and we try to sit down with all the department heads and go through those, you know, those non tax funded funds, mm-hmm. you know, again, there's, you know, citizens are still paying, mm-hmm. But you know, they're utility driven, revenue driven. And so we try to go through all those, and we first start talking about the budget on this year. We talked about it starting in July 3rd. So it's on the agenda. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing for people is, you know, and I don't point fingers or anything, because we have busy lives and lots of things going on. But, you know, it is really accessible to you. If you want to go out, again, on our website, just type in agenda, and you can pull that up, or you can even email us and ask us to be put on the agenda mailing list, and we can actually email you the packet every other Friday, or every two, you know, the first and third Tuesdays, for the first and third Tuesdays of the month,
mm-hmm.
and send that packet out to you. And it's a really good way to keep tabs on what's going on, because, you know, life gets busy, things get going fast, and I understand that. And a lot of times, it may not necessarily be about the budget, but we'll run into stuff where we're about ready to vote, and people are like, well, mm-hmm. we didn't know about this, and totally understand. I mean, it's one of those, like, how do you get the message out? Mm-hmm. You know, we do all the publishing and all that stuff, but we try to talk about it, but you know, it's part of it is how can we deliver the information to the people, and how can they access it, you know. And so again, if you want to be on that, or you can even, I think you can put notifications on our website. It's pretty intuitive to where you can say, hey, if there's an agenda or something added in the agenda section, shoot me an email or shoot mm-hmm. me a text, and it'll do that. So mm-hmm. it's a really good way to keep tabs on that, you know. So then, you know, July 3rd when we talked about it, and then July 17th meeting, and then the last meeting, you know, this previous meeting we had in August, we talked about it. So we really try to make it a process so we can get feedback through all that time, because that's, you know, that's the biggest time to be able to do that is mm-hmm. you know, especially leading up to that the hearing.
Talking
to the
city manager at Beloit, Jason Rabier, I guess today on a special edition of Community Matters, brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit, Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems. And that's one of the reasons why I think this is important, not only for Mitchell County and the city of Beloit, but for all of our areas here, the people listen to us, because you have your city council, you have your commissioners, and they're determining where your money mm-hmm. is going, okay? And so when you don't provide input, and then you complain about it. I always said, we have a line here that we play once in a while. Keep complaining until your dreams come true. And we all complain. We sure. are all guilty
yeah,
of complaining.
Human nature. Yep.
And we maybe don't all have time to attend these meetings, as you said. But I thought you really hit the nail on the head from the standpoint of trying to get the message out. Because I'll bet you there's a lot of people, especially probably younger people, but probably older people as well, that aren't even aware there was a meeting tomorrow night, or there was one recently for the county commissioners, or that they can even attend it, or have feedback, or ask questions. I think there are a lot of people that have no idea how to get their voice to be heard other than when I vote.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and I think it's something that, you know, even, you know, myself, we can do better at getting that message out. You know, it's you're going through the process of things, and it's, yeah, it's just trying to bridge that communication gap. You have that with everything. You know, it's, you know, the water thing coming up, or back when we were trying to figure out the sidewalk project, you know, or street closure, you know, it's how to best to get that message out and to engage the public. And I think it's kind of a two-way street for sure.
So. When you were in Iowa and you had these city budget hearing meetings, how many people showed up from the communities to talk about it?
None
either.
Yeah.
So the reason I bring that up is it's not just a North Central Kansas
thing
or a Beloit thing.
Correct.
It's probably across the country type of thing
for
the most part.
Yep. Yeah, and I think it's really important from the standpoint of, you know, just when I moved here, is right when Kansas put in a budget cap, which I think is good in concept, but in execution, that's where I think the public should have come in at, you know, over time, you know, is that's really where you keep it in check. You know, I think it's important. It does a good job now, but on the flip side, it doesn't necessarily facilitate a, you know, a mentality of saying, how can we cut it down even more? Because then you could be hamstrung, because all of a sudden then we have something big happen that we need to address, and we can only go up, you know, 1.4%, you know, those types of things. So as governments, that always two-way street again of, you know, yeah, it's a good check and balance. I think you need to have those things. I am actually for that type of thing. But there should be some, you know, it may need some more massaging to make it work better. But again, I think that's where the citizens come in to say, hey, what do you want to be done? Or even, you know, trying to go through it, educating in a sense that they don't know anything, but just say, hey, here's what we're thinking, or here's how it's working. And and maybe to answer some questions for people.
I know you can't necessarily speak for the school or for the county, but from the city perspective, since you're the city manager at Beloit, where has the spending been here the last few years? Are we either increasing spending? Are we decreasing the budget? Is the budget the same? You know, where is that going right now?
Yeah, the last two is the ones that I can speak to. And let me get to my right note here.
You have lots of numbers on those pieces of paper.
I know. Yeah. I'm trying to be somewhat prepared here. get to the right thing here. Yeah, so the last 2 years, as far as just the ad valorem, and that's the tricky part, is you know, that's the one that people get real, you know, they really focus on, but it's a smaller part of our budget.
The ad valorem that people don't understand,
property
what is
taxes.
It? Okay, there we go.
Sorry.
We go.
Yep.
That's all right.
And so our take the last 2 years has been 2.9% increase, and then this year is a 1.98% increase.
Okay.
Probably Chad can sit here with me, especially beforehand. There's a lot of double digit stuff going on. So really trying to, you know, and again, some of that is, you know, we took on the North Campus project, you know, and again, that's, you know, as daycares, and, you know, we're helping with that. Mm-hmm. We're helping, you know, with the alternative learning, you know, good things going on up there. The library moved up there. So those are added expenditures. You know, you have a new pool that, you know, the sales tax part is getting paid for, and it was always an expense, but, you know, that's not necessarily a moneymaker, you know, so we're supporting that. So really trying to, and then, you know, I think for everybody is healthcare. You know, we've asked employees to contribute more last year, and we're trying to find strategies to keep it flat. Thankfully this year it came in flatter, so that helps. But those are all big numbers that, you know, we're working hard to, again, my goal is to keep it as flat as possible. And I think those little bit of an increases have just been primarily just dipping into just the growth that happens in town, and not necessarily that I think the mill levy's actually gone down. But that's why it's not really important to pay attention to the mill levy. You know, mill levy and what your property value is are important things, but it's that end revenue number. is really what's important.
Grant money, would you say that, and of course you've only been here now about a couple of years, but the grant money that the city of Beloit, or maybe even the area, maybe you're privy to that information, I don't know. Would you say that you guys are getting more grant money, or it's about the same? Is it harder to get grant money? Is it easier to get grant money? And how much does that help you in regards to working with your budget? Or is that just extra special products you work on above your budget?
Well, I would say it's like getting a sale, an item on sale.
Okay.
Does it still cost you money?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So same with a grant. I think we are... I haven't gone back necessarily to see how many grants we've gotten in the past. You know, we got a nice CDBG housing rehab grant, demo grant before I got here. We're trying to get another one. We've got the Safe Routes to School grants. We've, scoreboard at the sports complex. Right. Those are smaller grants. We got a down payment assistance grant, but a lot of those require a match. So they're good things that benefit the community, but they still cost us, the taxpayer. So you see a lot of progress, but mm-hmm. there's still a price tag associated with that. So, if you wouldn't have gotten that grant, you may not have spent that money, okay? Even the housing rehab and demo grant, if you wouldn't have gotten that, mm-hmm. you might have spent some money, but maybe not near what you would have spent trying to match that, because it's a good thing for the community. It cleaned up, it tore down, but that's kind of that the two-way. There's always going to be skin in the game, which I think is important,
mm-hmm.
But there's really very few grants that are just a free, no strings attached type of thing.
Well, and I can't speak to how much, money overall has been spent with these grants going back 5, 6, 7 years, but it does seem over the past 2 or 3 years they've been more aggressive about going after that.
Yes.
Other money that's out there.
Well, because,
whether you're successful or not is up to the to the grantor.
Yeah.
But
because I think it's important. I mean, again, you see the property tax number, whatever the budget number is hopefully people at least see some activity and things that are going on, trying to be, and I'm a little bit more aggressive with that type of thing where, we're going to tackle problems that or issues that have been going on for a long time. And, mm-hmm. The Safe Routes to School, for example, that's something that people have been clamoring for and planning for years and years. And we just said, we're going to go get this thing executed, or mm-hmm. the drainage pipe downtown, let's just go get it done, or whatever it is, that's what we're going to tackle. So, some of the little streets downtown that we're repaving, mm-hmm. been in tough shape for a lot of years. So, we're working to, for saying, hey, we want to solve these problems. Well, then let's go solve them, and mm-hmm. let's go fix them.
So. Let me ask you this question. So is there a surplus? Like, do you guys have a horrible, I'll give you an example. Osborne County, they passed a tax to build their hospital. Okay. Now you have a car dealership over there that went out of business. And so that money, sales tax money on vehicles being sold in Osborne County, that is a significant hit to that community,
mm-hmm.
from a taxpayer standpoint. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if you're, I'm not saying anything's going to happen like that in Beloit,
sure.
but you never know.
Oh yeah.
And you go ahead and you figure your budget based off all these numbers, and then something out of left field completely throws out whack, which that certainly could happen to our neighbors to the west. How do you adapt to that, and do you have some kind of, what's the word, safety net, in case something like that happens?
Yep, reserve account or something,
yeah.
So...
Because I don't have a reserve account, but I'm just wondering if you guys do.
Right, Wade, I'm sure. and again, I think that's why it's really important, the city budget being a different animal like that, where the biggest, I don't know, I should do the math. I think about 85% of our budget is revenue, utility. Mm-hmm. We own our own utilities, which mm-hmm. isn't always common in cities. Some cities hardly own any utilities. Mm-hmm. In Kansas City area, they might just pay for Kansas City water, sewer, electric. Here, we actually own most of our utilities except for the trash utility. We pay somebody to haul that. However, so you're talking large dollars there, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Wade. There was a concerted effort, even far before I came here. I think probably when Glenn first got here to bolster some of those accounts. For example, the electric. I know we keep coming back to that one, but you're talking very expensive equipment and very expensive assets out in the community. I mean, every power pole you see, for the most part, mm-hmm. is ours, or every power line. You get a tornado through, that's not something that you can necessarily insure for. I mean, it'd be astronomical. It's one of those things you just kind of self-insure for.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you have, I think we just did a load of poles, and they came in at $300 a pop. And all of a sudden you have, 100 poles down, there's 30 grand, So what do you, what do you have for reserves? And so there's been concerted effort to build those up. And so, yes, we very much do, and our water, sewer, and especially our electric has very significant reserves built up, to the point where if something major happened or a catastrophe happened, that we would be able to turn around and get something bought or get something put in place,
mm-hmm.
To keep everybody, ticking and going on, you know. And I think several years ago, you know, for example, electric utility was down to the point where there might have been several hundred dollars left over at the course, yeah, at the end of every month, you know. And so that's definitely reversed that to where there's significant reserves in there just for that event, because that's what helps us keep, in the long run, utility rates more stable, because we don't have to react to all of a sudden something major happening or something major happening in the economy to where rates go up or down. So, I think that's really important, even in our general fund. And we've tried to do that less, but we try to, as we can afford it, put some money away into reserve accounts, you know, to pay for, building, you know, like the muni last year had several roof problems. So we're trying to fix leaks in the roof, or the law enforcement center, or the library, or the pool had a leak, and, you know, things that you just don't hear about or know about, but those are things we have to fix. And so we try to dip into those reserve accounts, and we try to push some money over there every year to do that. So now last year, when we tried to keep the budget tighter, we didn't really set aside much money there. This year, we're trying to do a little bit more. The fire department, you know, last year we didn't set aside much because they're really sitting pretty good and they have pretty good reserves. But this year, again, we try to kick some back over to them.
Right.
So it's kind of that balancing act. Sure. And that general fund, which gets, you know, about half of its money from property tax, you know, that's trying to tackle a lot of problems. You know, it's the police department, it's the parks and rec, you know, it's fire, it's the library, it's the administration itself.
Right.
So there's a lot of different animals. Now, again, we're getting funds from other little pots of money, you know, your alcohol tax or things like that. So, but you know, we're trying to tackle a lot with that fund.
Two quick questions before we let you go. I know we ran a little bit long today, but there's lots to cover today, and that's why I wanted to have you come in before the meeting tomorrow night. I've heard this, that some people have told me, I don't know if this is completely true or not, but I'd like to get your opinion on it, is that the more people you have, your taxes should go down. I've heard people say that, like, you bring in, like, if the city of Beloit would have a new industry that comes into town and they bring in a couple hundred jobs, and all of a sudden you bring in all these people, that hypothetically your taxes go down because you're spreading that budget across more people. You could counter that argument and say, yeah, but there's more people to take care of, there's more wear and tear on your streets, there's more. What are your thoughts on that?
I guess it depends on the type of growth. You know, there's very much to be said that, I think in let's just look at Mitchell County as a whole, and not necessarily the county government, but Mitchell County. You know, I've had conversations in my own theories in my own head as I've thought about this, is you have the same amount of infrastructure and things that people want and need and et cetera, with fewer and fewer people. You know, maybe 100 years ago there was 20,000 people here. Now that we didn't, you know, government wasn't providing the same types of things and whatever, but I think the point's made that, you know, over even 50 or 40 years, you kind of seen as a county in whole this downward trend. So in the city of Beloit, we've maintained pretty steady population, but so there's a conundrum that I think a lot of rural communities, a lot of rural areas are having to deal with, is how do you continue to support all this infrastructure with fewer and fewer people? Okay. But on the flip side, so I think, you know, you get a bolstering of, you know, another 500 people in Beloit or another 2,000 people in the county, it's probably not going to significantly increase, you know, your variable cost, you know, your fixed cost is already there. So I think your variable cost is going to be covered by the increased revenue that they have bringing in. So it's probably not going to be that big of a deal. You're not going to have to raise your fixed cost because you're not adding a lot of new resources. But now, all of a sudden, let's put ourselves, you know, 5 miles outside of Salina, and maybe our taxes are cheaper or whatever. People want to move out to us, and all of a sudden we're building 30, 40 homes a year and having to build, add developments and streets and sewer and that stuff. That's where you run into issues of trying to keep up from a budget perspective. So you may not necessarily see, you know, a decrease initially, especially as you're trying to add all that additional infrastructure. So, you know, if it's an industry that makes sense and people that make sense for Beloit, then yeah, I think that there's definitely
some truth to that.
Yeah, some truth to that. But on the flip side, I've been to where there's significant growth and you're trying to add the amenities and the things that people want and the baseball fields or
all that stuff
that people want. And, you know, those aren't free.
No,
you
know, not.
But if they were, it'd be awesome. But there, I think it's kind of more of a competition thing. You know, even in that situation, we were in a suburb situation. Our goal is just to, you know, obviously be affordable, but just be more affordable than the bigger cities that we're competing with for residents, you know, and so we could do that.
City Manager Boy Jason Raby with us. One last question. I saved this one for last.
Oh, yeah.
Why did my electric bill go up significantly last month, Jason?
Yeah. Well, first of all, yeah, a couple reasons, and I researched this, and this is another thing that, yeah, people ever have questions. Definitely feel free to get a hold of me somehow. I have all sorts of really colorful reports that are really interesting to look at.
I bet people have some colorful words.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Well, I had some when I opened my own bill. Yeah. So,
they're interesting because they're colorful.
Yeah. I go to talk about them. Yeah. Wait a minute. I am the city manager. I guess I could.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So obviously I was pretty motivated to look at it myself.
Yeah.
So, basically think of the electric utility, especially the electric rates, as kind of a commodity market, you know, so it's the grain commodities or stock market, whatever you're most familiar with. The electric market is very much the same. 3 or 4 years ago, it went to what they call the integrated marketplace. And so that created kind of a stock exchange, if you will, for electricity, kind of in a multi-state region here, kind of around Kansas. Okay. So we have different contracts, and this is probably going to go a long way here, sorry, little pieces of power that we buy, okay? And
that's asked.
Yeah, you asked.
I did.
Those are fixed.
I said quick, too. Yeah. But hey,
those are fixed pockets of power. I'll try to wrap it up quick.
No, that's
fixed
okay.
pockets of power that we use, that we know we can buy every month, et cetera. And so we set our fixed electric rates off of that, and those, I think, have been fairly consistent for a couple of years. But then we also have what they call an ECA, or electric cost adjustment. So, again, you're talking significant dollars, commodity purchases that you're buying every month, okay? So we know that there's a set cost in there that we attribute to having an electric utility, but then there's going to be that difference that
up
2.5 cents to 4.5 cents that are going to range up and down that we're going to pass on to the consumer. Mm-hmm. Okay, so last month was kind of a double whammy. June, if we try to go all the way back in time here, I know it's been nice and cool lately, but June was actually really hot. It was our second highest June usage in the last, I want to say, 6 or 7 years. Okay, so significantly higher than last June. But it was, and not too far off that top one, I think like in 2012 or something. I don't know if it was hot then or what, but so you had that. So, but that only affects that base rate, which is, you know, if you would have, you could just look at that compared to last year, the same usage, your bill would have been exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So then that comes to that variable part. And this is where, in this sense, it made sense. Well, if you've ever heard of the Jeffrey Energy Center, large energy center in June, unfortunately, they had a steam valve blow up and killed two individuals. Okay, so sad deal, a big deal. We buy a chunk of our power from there, but so does a lot of other communities in the state of Kansas. It's a big power source for a lot of the state. So we already had to pay for a certain part of that anyways, we didn't get any power delivered. Okay, so that inched a little bit, not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then the second component is congestion, which sounds crazy, but for example, wind farms out in western Kansas are great, but they actually are kind of hamstrung because there's not that much power demand out west.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they get power pushed over to Kansas City? Well, just think of it trying to fight its way upstream.
Yeah.
It costs money because it gets lost. It's trying to push against these other resources. And so the state, you know, when we look at, we have an electric group meeting every month. When you look at June, the whole state congestion on that map, if the redder it gets or the yellow or orange it gets, that means the more congestion there was. And usually it's green and maybe a few little yellow blurbs here and there. The whole state was just yellowish orange. I mean, just bright as it could be. So that's what really drove that up, is it created chaos in that integrated marketplace. So that stock market was going crazy. And so you couldn't hedge properly. There was all sorts of, it was like basically just threw a wrench in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really caused rates to be kind of, or not kind of, but higher than that part of it than last, than what we're normally would be accustomed to. So we actually look at July, and that came back on in July. So everything kind of normalized. And so I think a lot of people can have the same usage. I know I looked at my own bill because I could kind of see what it was going to be, you know, and I think my usage was exactly the same, which is probably not usual because July is usually hotter, but it wasn't. And, you know, you might see, a few, or not a few, but, you know, some dollars less because of that. So we're getting back to more of a normal thing. And then coming on, we've made some adjustments where even that Jeffrey piece that we have is going away. So it's kind of an expensive piece of power. Now back, you know, 10, 15 years ago when they acquired it, it was probably made sense. But we're getting rid of that, and we're selling off another piece of power to another community. And so we're going to have some discussions here where that variable piece maybe gets squeezed a little bit more, where we can pass some of that on more onto the consumer. And still get some things accomplished for the power utility.
It's amazing when one bad thing happens, a little breakdown or some, you know, a bad accident like that can affect everybody across the entire state.
Yeah, because initially I thought, well, man, it was just hot, and I remembered it. Sure. And so I went and looked, and I was like, man, that's not all of it. And so then I went back and looked and looked at kind of where it all broke down from, and that's really what happened. It just really screwed up the whole thing.
Absolutely. So, all right, man, tomorrow night, the meeting for people. That
7 o'clock.
Hey, people, if I'm telling you folks, this is a chance to get the word out. If you guys would love to see people there that provide, now they don't, you don't want people coming up screaming at you saying bad words, but you want people respectfully to come and say, you know, provide feedback if they have questions, if they don't understand something with the budget. You guys will be more than happy to answer those questions. Correct.
Yeah, more than happy there, or just or any other time. It's, you know, it's a Monday at 8:23. You got almost 20, well, not, you know what,
36 hours roughly.
For me, Chad. I'll get too many numbers right now, but yeah, just give me a call, and you know, that's the easiest way, is to go through it and answer questions and you know, try to make some sense of it, because I think the budget form is there's a lot of pages to it, and I don't think it's intentionally trying to be complicated, but I think once you can go through it, then it's easy to really understand, and there's a flow to it. It's actually really nice. In Kansas, it's one big Excel spreadsheet that you use to develop your budget, so it all self calculates, it does all those things. So once you understand how to go through it, it's a pretty easy animal to figure out. But definitely, yeah, just give me a call, shoot me an email. I'll meet you at the coffee shop.
Okay, for people who don't know then, so the city council meeting tomorrow night at 7, where do you have your meetings at?
We have our meetings at the municipal building. Okay. We have council chambers. So as you look at the building from the front, it's the little pod on the left of the building.
Okay, and if you can't make it, they can give you a call.
That's right. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
And they can go online again and they can find some of this information?
Yes. Yep. If you just go to beloitechaos.org and just in the search bar, it's the easiest way to find anything on our website. It's great. Just type in budget and you'll go to the budget section and you'll find the 2019 proposed budget.
There you go. I've said this all along. If it's really a priority to you, you'll do one of those three things that you just presented. Mm-hmm. And if it's not that big of a priority to you, you'll complain until your dreams come true. I'm kidding. It's a joke. But some people do, as we know.
Right.
So thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks,
appreciate it.
Yep.
No donuts again. Notice that? Yep. 8:25 is our time. We did ask him to come
this
in.
This was special.
Yeah,
it was special. 8:20. Our time with Jason's always special.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah. Jason Raby, City Manager of Beloit. Join us today on the Community Matters segment brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit, Mitchell County Hospital. Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems. Nailed it.